spinning top, spin to win.
Hi, my dear analytical listener. I'm your sometimes despairingly over-analytical host, Shefali. First things first, may I request you to give yourself a pat on the back? Wondering what that is all about? It's for being analytical, or even for being over-analytical, because it proves that you are a brainy individual who's capable of higher-order thinking. Long back, when I was a happy teenager, I had read somewhere that fools are the only ones who can hope for forever happiness. I remember that it had left me snickering. I am intelligent, I told myself. And I am happy. So whoever said that was completely wrong. More recently, a wiser me read an Ernest Hemingway quote. Happiness in intelligent people is the rarest thing I know. I nodded, inked it on a pen stand, kept it on my desk. I agree with Hemingway now, because I know that it is true. And I think I also know why this happens. I believe that the underlying reason for this lack of happiness among the brighter humans is their ability to analyze. Because it inevitably results in overanalysis, which eventually results in unhappiness. I can hear the super intelligent among my listeners quipping something to the effect of, "Shefali, are you trying to put our analytical abilities to test by making such a convoluted statement?" Obviously not, my dear. Only a fool would attempt to test the obvious. While you figure that one out, let me talk a bit about analysis and overanalysis. When we break any complex information into parts and then review the relationships that exist between its parts, we analyze. In the domain of feelings, we analyze because something did not click as correct or logical. For instance, a promotion that you deserved went to someone else. You ask why. For instance, you didn't end up with the textbook mom or dad for whom you meant the world, the kind that everyone else on the planet appears to have. A hurt you asks why. For instance, after years, even decades of apparently happy togetherness, your partner fell in love with someone else. You ask why. For instance, despite your superior academic capability, you ended up on the corporate treadmill while your cousin, who failed 8th standard twice, ended up inheriting your uncle's petrol pump. You ask why. These are some instances of what makes you overanalyze. Let us understand why you analyze and overanalyze stuff. You see, our brain stores information in the form of interconnected information pieces called schema. I'll take a moment to explain the schema, but first you must know that the schema is an abstract concept which helps us understand how the mind works. It isn't a real tangible structure, but it helps us get a handle on the processes of the mind from a very practical angle. So imagine a mesh of interconnected information pieces that keeps growing as more related information flows in. Imagine your brain as a librarian that files away information related to a particular subject in a particular area of the library. So, you could have a family schema in which you store information about all your near and dear ones. You store information about all your near and distant family members, how they relate to one another, their ages, their spouses, their kids, and so on. Similarly, you could have other schemas too. One for your work, another for your finances, still another for your friends, and so on. Now, an intelligent person would naturally have a fairly well-developed schema of everything that is important to him or her. When something doesn't automatically fit the scheme of things, this intelligent person obviously tries, obviously goes an extra mile to fit it into the existing schema. You see, analysis per se is in the problem. The problem arises when our brain refuses to give up, when it perseveres. It then begins to suck up our energy that we should be using for other things, like maintaining our existing relationships, doing something productive and creative, and so on. And there is a reason why our brain refuses to give up. It does so because we keep accessing the schema related to that pesky issue again and again, thereby strengthening it, making it more available, more accessible, so that when anything that is even remotely related to that particular schema pops up, the brain jumpstarts the analysis again. So let us go back to the examples. When a promotion that you deserved went to someone else, everything around you your office, your boss, the person who got the promotion, they all transform into triggers, making you ask why and sending your brain into an overanalysis frenzy. If you didn't have the best mom or the best dad in the world, each time you see your mom or a dad doing something really nice for the kid, each time you hear someone say, "My mom is super awesome," your brain starts analyzing why you were singled out by God. When after decades of marriage, your partner falls in love with someone else, seeing young, freshly fallen in love couples, seeing your own pictures from the past, coming upon a love message from your happier times, it can start the twister, the analysis twister, as your brain starts wondering why and how and what life would be in future. Finally, when you stop at a petrol pump where cars are lined up to get their tanks filled, and the attendant gives you a receipt of 1,000 rupees that you need so that you may claim a reimbursement. When people in the family give more importance to your cousin than they do to you, your mind begins to ask questions. And since you've been accessing the related schema so often, it's easy to slide into overanalysis. So, the question is there nothing that you can do about it? There are enough people telling you that you should stop overanalyzing. Don't overanalyze, they tell you. Period. They don't tell you how, because the how isn't easy to come by. You see, it's simple to understand, but it isn't that simple to practice. However, it can be done. I believe that if you are bright enough to analyze, you're bright enough to control and manage your thoughts. Step one, start small. Don't start working on all your overanalysis problems all at once. Isolate your schema for one particular thing that makes you overanalyze and identify your triggers for it. Step two, when you notice or you expect a trigger, change the track of your thoughts. Think about something that makes you happy. For instance, your kids, if they aren't the ones who are making you overanalyze, or your favorite serial that you'll be watching in a few hours, or think of your last meeting with your lover if he or she isn't the one making you go nuts. If you are around people, talk to them, or at least check your Facebook or Instagram, not passively but actively. Write a comment, like a post, sometimes even that helps. Step 3. At first it shall be difficult, but try again and again and again until you get the hang of it. As your overanalysis activity reduces, the corresponding pesky schema will start dwindling. And the good news is, once it starts dwindling, it dwindles really fast. The weaker it becomes, smaller are its chances of popping up when a trigger presents itself. Over time, you'll stop overanalyzing your top of the chart problem. Then work with the next, and soon you'll be able to arrest your descent into any sort of overanalysis, probably even before it starts happening. I know that this one is a bit complex, but then overthinking and overanalysis are killers of happiness, comfort, and productivity. So won't you give it a shot? Here's the gist of it once again. Isolate the problem schema and identify the triggers. When you see a trigger, change track by thinking or talking about something else. Practice and watch your brain give up useless overanalysis. This is all that I wanted to talk about today, and I really hope that you give it a shot. The feeling of controlling and directing your mind is freaking awesome. If you enjoyed my podcast and found it useful, do subscribe or follow on a podcasting app of your choice. If you'd like to talk about this episode or any other, please go to anchor.fm/Shefali-Anand and leave me a voice message. I'd love to address your concerns through my future podcasts. The podcast is now available on YouTube. So if you want to follow it on YouTube, please find the link in the description section. Thank you and have a fantastic, non-analytical and hence a happy day ahead. Bye then.